With us right now, Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue. Back to Our Roots Tour is on the road again, this time in the western states, Wyoming and Nebraska. What are farmers telling you now, and has their message changed much since the tour started last year in the Midwest?
Well, Larry, not on the fundamental issues. Obviously, trade issues have heightened a little bit with some of the trade disruptions that we see. But essentially, those three major issues, trade, labor, and regulation, are what's on farmers' minds. Some individually items may come up in different areas, some parochial issues, but mostly overall from east to west, north to south, it's trade, labor, and regulation.
You mentioned trade issues. Trade with China and also the NAFTA agreement still under negotiation, getting a lot of attention. You've had several State Farm Bureau presidents ask you to work with the president to de-escalate trade issues. What can you tell us about possible efforts there, and do you and the president have differing views on trade?
Well, I don't know that we have differing views. We both want to sell more ag products overseas, and he has maybe a different negotiating style that I would bring to the job, but that's what got him elected president. And I think that a president can get the North Korean leader to the table about denuclearizing the North Korean peninsula is pretty effective, and I think he'll be effective on trade policy as well. All the while, it's particularly anxious for growers who are looking at the near term and commodity prices that are not profitable. So we're hopeful. The president has issued pretty direct challenges and charges to his trade negotiators that he wants significantly more ag exports that China would consume. Obviously, NAFTA is important. It's gotten, from a time perspective, just a lot of work to do. The timeline on NAFTA has gotten very, very close, but I'm still hopeful we can get a NAFTA deal as well as get improved exports into China.
You mentioned that the president has his method of doing things. With the Farm Bureau presidents asking if you can help de-escalate the situation, I would imagine telling the boss how to do his job is not an easy thing to do.
Several people are no longer there that tried to do that as well, and I think, again, he has his style that's been successful for him throughout his career, and while we believe sometimes that ag exports are different than real estate in New York, nonetheless, his style, I think, is succeeding in many ways, getting people to the table that never wanted to talk to us before. What farmers recognize is that China's been cheating ever since they entered the World Trade Organization, and he's the first president to call their hand. And farmers don't like cheaters. They want to play by the rules. They want everybody else to play by the rules. And that's exactly what the president's insisting China do.
Any word on progress with NAFTA or with China trade?
Well, again, NAFTA's on a close hole. It's a difficult situation, really, from a timing perspective. But I think we're making progress. I think we're beginning to get some principles laid down. And obviously, the details are where the real work has to be done. So hopefully we can get it done. I know that farmers and NAFTA is just as important to American producers as the deal to China.
With NAFTA, I know a lot of people are watching the Canadian dairy situation. We haven't heard much movement on that, have you?
Actually, that has not been very vocal. It has a difficult supply management strategy up there that's difficult to unwind. But I'm also hopeful that we can have better access to their markets with increased quotas. And I don't know, the Class 7 circumvention of fair trade they use on this surplus milk is very problematic, and that's one of the issues that we've put to them as well. They need to reform that Class 7 milk and get it off the world market.
Any progress on ag labor issues?
Well, hopefully, yes. We have been meeting interagency-wide. Obviously, until Congress picks up the immigration debate, we believe that the president desires them to include a legal farm workforce in that bill, but we don't know when that'll be. Aside from that, we've been working from a regulatory perspective among interagencies, the USDA working with the Department of Labor, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Department of State in order to smooth out the application process and hopefully make a better less onerous, convoluted process at the beginning for our farmers to engage, for those who want to utilize H-2A workers.
We know the Congressman Bob Goodlatte's Ag Act got rolled into a Homeland Security measure. Do you and the President support that proposal?
Well, we support many parts of it. It's not nearly as helpful to agriculture as it was at one point. Chairman Goodlatte, to his credit, had a great bill initially and ran into some opposition in his committee and had to remove some of the more items that were very beneficial to farmers. But overall, deals with the seasonality and other issues that are really helpful in that area.
Farm bill debate in the House started yesterday. It looks like it's going to be a long battle because they don't agree on the SNAP program changes. What's in the farm bill package on the House side that you like, and what would you like to see added?
Well, again, I think it it continues a safety net for our producers, underlined with crop insurance again, and I think it's an evolution. It includes more specialty crops. It has great conservation title, and those are the things that we really like. I believe, unfortunately, the Democrats have chosen to overplay their hand again on the work requirements that essentially were in the 14 Farm Bill, but states were given waivers, which with under 4% unemployment, they're still using, saying that people can't get a job. And that's the real crux of the matter. And I believe even their base understands that when people enjoy and benefit from the generosity and the compassion of the American taxpayer, they should be making efforts on their own to regain an independent lifestyle rather than a permanent dependent lifestyle on food stamps.
There are many amendments proposed for the House Ag Committee's Farm Bill. Are there any you like and any you don't like?
Well, again, I've not been engaged, and I'm not here to try to tell Congress how to do their job. Obviously, I think the sugar amendment that Representative Fox wants to put in might be appropriately debated at another time. I would hate to see that come into the Farm Bill at this time, which would disrupt really NAFTA negotiations as well as other previous agreements with Mexico. I think that would be damning overall to the spirit of what we've done. And if Congress wants to deal with the sugar industry as a whole, then I think that needs to be done separately from the Farm Bill.
Renewable fuel standard and the RIN credits in the news a lot lately. Secretary Pruitt at EPA has granted several waivers to oil refiners. I know you've been involved with White House meetings on the RFS. What's happening behind the scenes there?
Well, the president has told the administrator of EPA that he wants the E15 waiver granted right away. We're very concerned about the waivers that have been issued that essentially reduce the 15 billion RVO volume obligation down to under 14 billion gallons. That's direct demand destruction, and we've communicated that. My expectation, as we discussed with the administrator and the president, was that those gallons would be reallocated in the next renewable volume obligation, and that's my expectation. If we're going to issue waivers, then they need to be recalculated as we go forward.
Do you expect any problems with some of those RIN credits going to exports? I understand that might be a world trade issue.
It could be. We don't know how that would be viewed. That's been a goal of the administrator all along, and to some degree, it does continue to increase corn demand and ethanol production, but it has the potential for lowering domestic consumption by reducing the RVO volume or the RIN credit obligation there. But I think overall, we don't know if that would be threatened or in court or enjoined in the trade disputes or not.
Do you see any possibility of some of Secretary Pruitt's waivers being revoked?
I don't know that you can take back that. Revocation is not one that I have been involved in or heard anything about. Again, I think the best thing we could do would be to reallocate those volumes going forward.
And when you reallocate those volumes, how would that happen and when could that happen?
It would happen in the fall at the next when the next volume is established by the administrator, that those over a period of a couple of years would be added into the volume that would be already calculated. For instance, if we had a $15 billion statutory there and you've issued a billion gallons of waivers, I would think that half of those would be included in the first year and another half in the second year, possibly.
So it's reasonable that what was lost up through these waivers could be added back in starting as soon as this fall.
That's our expectation, yes. If we're going to have these waivers, we believe the statute calls for that, for those waivers to be reallocated into the following year.
And the we is you and the president, right?
We hope that's the case.
Different topic for you. This one may be new to you. I understand Senator Gillibrand wrote asking for $300 million in emergency aid to dairy farmers through USDA, similar to what cotton aid received before. Is that something you've had time to consider?
I've not seen that. I was briefed on it this morning, but the cotton was ubiquitous. $300 million across all the dairy farmers across the country would mean very little to them individually, and obviously it would go to the much of it would go to the larger dairy herds in the West and California, and probably not help her northeastern smaller dairies that much. So we're looking for other solutions. I think the MPP improvement program that favored smaller dairies that is in her district was an improvement, and I think there'll be further improvements in this farm bill.
Is there anything you'd like to add today, Secretary?
No, it's been a great tour out here. We began in Albuquerque, New Mexico, came up through Santa Fe, had a great tour of some farms in Colorado, and talked about labor issues. We talked about other predator issues out here in the West, as well as the Farm Bill and the Forest Service and allotments and grazing and those kind of things. So it's been extremely informative. We also saw some great USDA facilities in Fort Collins, Colorado, one of the largest germplasm banks for plants and animals in the world. I think if the American citizens saw that, they would be very proud of what the USDA is doing to preserve the native seeds as well as animals from previous times, and to use that, if necessary, to restore plants or animals that have been destroyed. Along with that, we had a great visit to the Wildlife Services that are helping producers on predation and learning more how we can protect our animals and crops from predation. So it's been a great tour, and we're heading over to Nebraska from Cheyenne, Wyoming this morning, and look forward to some more talk with farmers.